Hi there, I'm Sophia.
I'm Katie.
And I'm Nisha, and welcome to Classical Baddies.
Woo! And this week, we thought that we would tell you about some fails that we've been through.
Kind of like stage moments that we've had that have been not so great.
Feel free to laugh at us.
Yeah.
Feel
free. At us.
At us. With us. At us. Doesn't matter. I laugh at myself all the time. Mm-hmm. Like my first ever performance when I was 12, and I was walking up the stairs in my first ever gown, and I fell straight up the stairs.
Like a full Jennifer Lawrence moment.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was in bare feet because I wasn't comfortable wearing heels yet, so everybody saw my bare feet. Oh. It was really good.
But I mean, something I think that all performers have to get used to, something they have to learn, is how to laugh at yourself. Because if you don't, you're going to be really sad all the time. Because you're never perfect.
You gotta fall down before you learn how to run, you know? Gotta fail a few times. And you know what? If you know you can survive the worst, it kind of takes the edge off of it. If you're like, I made a fool out of myself, and I may do it again, but I know that I'll live, you know?
Yeah.
It's...
You can't die of embarrassment, I don't think.
Sure feels like it.
Yeah, you're just like... The worst is when it happens and your face just flushes red.
Yeah.
And you feel hot and, like, your heart is pounding.
I know.
And, yeah. You know, you think, like, everyone noticed. In reality, people probably didn't really notice.
Well, no, because for them, it's a split second. And for you, it's eternity.
The end of the world.
Yeah,
right?
Always. Like... Yeah. When you...
Yeah, I gotta say, there's nothing like the look in someone's eyes when you're on stage together and they realized they've screwed up and they've forgotten a prop. There's no kind of fear in someone's eyes like that kind of fear when they look at you with help.
I need your help. Please save me.
No,
there's nothing quite like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, my acting teacher in high school was telling us a story about one time he was in a production, and he, like, was trying to get the coins, but every time he would almost forget them, and this one time he did forget it, and he was on stage, and he's freaking out, but all of a sudden his stage, like, scene partner comes up and slips the coins in his hand. And he's like, oh my god, sad. Thank you. And like, you know, thank god the scene went well. But like, oh, those moments, those are like the moments where it feels like life or death.
Oh, no, totally. I think my worst one probably was high school, grade 12. No, it was grade 11. It doesn't matter. It does not matter. High School Musical. Of course, that was my life since I was a dork. And I had...
Wait, the movie or, like, actual High School Musicals? Like, you were in
I was in a High School Musical. I was in Anything Goes. And I played Hope Harcourt, in case anybody wanted to know. And I had this quick change. So I had to go into, like, this little dress jacket, full set of jewelry, gloves, shoes, like... And I had this big set of pin curls. The dress always got stuck in my hair. And I had to change into this evening gown and do the big romantic scene where we're supposed to dance on the deck of the ship and whatever. And I had to have four people help me change because I had 30 seconds. Like, I literally sang, walked off into off stage in the wings, got fully changed into a gown, whole new gloves, whole new set of jewelry, and walked back on. Like, that was kind of change. 30 seconds to do this ridiculous thing. And then one night, the zipper on the dress broke, and it was one of those, it was a full gown, and it was one of those, it only comes up to the hip, and so my bra was out, like, you could see the left bra cup was out, and I just had a point, and my partner, luckily, was a great improviser, and he was waiting for me on stage, and he stalled, and he actually came up with a really great thing, but I walked out on stage with my dress wide open, because we just got to that point where we can't stall anymore. This dress isn't going to close, because we're double cast too, and it broke on the girl I was cast with, but she didn't tell anyone, I don't think.
Wow.
So she just broke the dress, I walked out on stage with my dress wide open, and then the guy I was doing the whole number with saw it, and was like, oh no, she's burying herself, so he, gentleman that he is, tried to cover it with his hand, but he just ended up holding onto my boob for most of the number. I did this whole number with my dress wide open. And then, yeah. And I remember there was also... That was, like, the nightmare of costume changes. Because I also had to put on a wedding dress with, no joke, 60 individual buttons up the back of it. So, you know what? Half the nights we went... we're not doing all of those. You did roughly half of them. You went every other button and...
Yeah, fair enough.
Don't turn around. You're wearing a veil. No one sees it.
No one can see you.
I've done some, you know, I've been in shows, but I've also worked in like tech crews and backstage mm-hmm. crews as well. So I've seen the other side of it as well, the people who are rushing to help you do a costume change. Yeah. And we did this one show where we had like 4 girls that had to go out in wedding dresses at the end. And so I think we have like 4 different teams set up to get 4 different girls switched out of these costumes, put into wedding dresses, and then set back on stage.
Yeah.
And like, it's a musical, so there's no delaying. Like, that stuff has music going with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, oh God, it was just so stressful. I mean, thank God we did it well, but... Goodness.
I think my worst embarrassment on stage isn't even from music. It's from a poetry festival at school, in high school. I was in the poetry club, of course, and it was me and a friend of mine who were helping host, and I did... Beyonce had just come out with a song... Drop the bass, man, the bass get lower. Speed it up, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Sneezed on the beat, and the beat got sicker.
Is that
and
Beyonce?
And Vine...
Is that
yeah.
Okay, yeah, cool.
And Vine was very popular, and me and my friends, who were all nerds in the poetry club, thought it would be funny if we made the joke about dropping a beat. And
like
I dropped...
Like other person
a beat.
Did during that year.
Yeah, and I dropped a beat. A red beat on stage, and nobody laughed. So I pick it up, and I try to recover, and I look at my friend, and I go, help me. And then she goes, yo, you want help? And I go, no, I want to do it by myself. And it is the most awkward thing to watch. I have seen it. It's somewhere on YouTube.
I'll give them the exact title so our lovely listeners can look this up for themselves.
I would rather not, but it was very awful, very awkward. And you can just tell that I want to... immediately leave the stage.
Like, let the stage swallow you up and
yes,
just
exactly.
bury you forever.
Title of the YouTube video, awkward nerdy girl drops a beat on stage and freezes.
Nobody laughs, so she wants to cry.
So, I think that actually one of my first stage fails was when I was in grade 5. I was doing my first show ever. Only grade 5s were allowed to be in the show, so it was so exciting because I'm like, I'm finally here. I get to be in this play. I was so excited. But they gave me like 4 different roles.
Yeah.
I was the narrator. I was Mother Mary. I was the mother of these kids who were learning how not to litter. And it was...
It's a very important message to teach the youths, you know?
Yeah, so, like, I'm running... At the age of 10, running around doing a million costume changes. And they, like, you know, told me, like, the importance of make sure that you're on stage at the right time. And so this one time, I'm trying to get changed and get on stage... But I didn't have enough time, and I had this, like, long dress on, but, like, not long enough that you couldn't see my feet, and I didn't have time to put my shoes on. So, I have to run on stage barefoot, but, like, crouch just a little bit so that they can't see my feet, and then narrate. And I was so nervous and scared. I mean, I don't think anyone noticed, but it was horrifying.
So, since we're opera singers, there's one more kind of... There's another kind of fail that we always deal with.
Yeah.
Oh, whether it's in practice, on stage, just in front of anybody. And that is languages.
I mean, like, we're singing in languages that we've never really learned before at first. And then, you know, you take some courses on it, you learn a bit. But they're not our own native language.
Yeah, we're not all fluent in... German, Italian, French,
Russian.
Well, yeah. You are German. Wow. Well,
I'm not German.
You are German.
I sure ain't.
No, I was trying to say that you are fluent in French.
Yes, but, you know, not everyone is. This is supposed to be relatable.
Okay.
Canadien.
Although the nice thing about it sometimes is that neither is the audience most of the time.
You know,
so you forget a verse, you forget one of your verses, you sing the same verse again in German. No one knows.
You know what the problem is? That, like, sure, that's okay when you're, like, a student.
Yeah.
Because, okay, when I tell people, I'm like, yeah, I have to take Italian courses, German courses, and French courses, they're like, what? That's so, like, ridiculous. Why do you have to do that? I'm like, well, could you imagine if I'm on an opera stage in, like, Italy. Mm-hmm. And I'm singing in Italian. And I pronounce things wrong. Do you think I'm gonna get hired there again? I'm probably gonna get laughed off the stage.
I don't think I've ever royally pooched the words. Is pooched something people say?
I don't know.
Honestly, not sure, but let's go with it.
Pooched? Great, pooched. I'm gonna say it one more time. Pooched. I don't think I've royally, like, messed that up in a situation where it really counts, because, like, what is it? Has been
performances.
School performances and then, like, studio recitals. I've had it before where I got the very last line in a verse. Like, I just accidentally sang a line from a different verse, but it didn't faze me at all, so it didn't show or anything. I think I did that during a studio recital, but I don't even think I messed up that bad.
Oh, God.
I think the worst has always been sight reading. Because I get paid to sing hymns for a church. And you do not know the amount of times I have pulled out a book, someone hasn't told me which hymns I'm singing, or, like, the exact number. Or I'm just not, like, literally some days, you know, it's not even rehearsed, they hand it to you and they go, go! And you're like, okay, I'm sight reading notes, words, all at the same time. It's pretty low risk, so no one cares, but the amount of times I've gotten up in front of a congregation saying the wrong words while the correct words are being projected on a screen behind me. So it's not even subtle. Or, like, you get halfway through a verse and you, like, switch halfway through it. Like, it'd be the love of Gauzes is in me.
The love of Gauzes?
It's a mixture of God and Jesus. You don't know.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Incredible. My
iconic
enemy for sight reading has been when we go from into Christmas season and we're singing Christmas hymns. Because whenever I see C-H-R-I, I assume that it's turning into Christ. Because 99% of the times that's what it is. But as soon as it's Christmas, the amount of times I have sung Christmas, these people pay me to sing, get up there and sing Christmas to a bunch of elderly folk. And when that happens, I just gotta kind of shake it off and go, well, that was that. That happened. Christmas.
Have you ever had your mic go out while you're singing in front of a crowd? I have.
Oh,
when we were in the studio doing a pop masterclass, I guess.
I screwed up someone else's mic. Sorry, I'll tell it after. I just got excited when I remember the story.
Yeah, no.
Please tell about the pop concert. I got excited about my own story.
I did the pop concert, and my mic, for whatever reason, stopped working. The cord came out, something went loose, and my guitarist walks up and just he was the most incredible man I've ever met.
This.
And he's playing guitar. It's a pop punk guitar riff. Like, it's fairly simple, but still, with one hand on the fingerboard of the guitar.
And, on the frets.
Yeah, there you go, the fretboard. That thing. He's playing the guitar one-handed and fixing my mic at the same time. And I'm just standing there. Singing, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. What is happening? And I'm trying to keep pumped, but, like, how do you stay pumped when somebody is one-handedly playing the guitar and fixing your mic for you because you don't know how to fix it yourself?
Oh, yeah. My God. I think one of the scariest things that's happened to me was I went in for my audition to university for getting a bachelor's in opera performance. I'm terrified. I don't think I've ever been that scared in my life. I remember telling my mom, I was like, I feel like I'm going to pass out, puke, and pee all at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
I was so nervous.
That's so relatable.
I know I have definitely felt that before auditions.
Yeah.
And so I get in there and you get in there and this, like, kind of calm washes over you just a little bit.
Mm.
You know, not so much of the pass out and be yourself vibe. And so I get up there, I'm super prepared, I have my music printed, and I have hard copies of them for the accompanist, like, everything. Pianist. Accompanist is a bad word. The pianist. You know, I go up there, and I've given my music to him, but I've given him the hard copy, an actual book. And I just grabbed them in a scramble, and I gave it to him, and I was starting to sing. And then all of a sudden I start hearing him play, like, singular notes. Like, it's not really this huge elaborate accompaniment that's supposed to be underneath you. And I just kind of, like, glance to the side, and then he stops. freaking out at this point. And he's like, I think I have a different version. Oh my god, I started freaking out because I realized there's another version that cuts off like 2 pages earlier.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, okay, fine. I remembered that I had hard copies of the actual version. I was like, I am so sorry.
Yeah.
Scrambled, give that to him. And, like, the people sitting in the audition panel were like, pretend like that didn't happen and just start. But, like, you know, you tried, but really, how easy is it to pretend like you didn't just fail?
Yeah.
Oh, my. Yes. I definitely felt that way in the last year.
Oh, I got so excited about my microphone story, and then I forgot to tell it. But, no, I did this, like, cabaret-style performance, you know, where, like, different numbers were going on. Because I remember before, so we had those little mic packs, and they had to be strapped to your back. Before I went on stage, I went to the bathroom, and I dropped the mic pack in the toilet.
No!
There are tech people who have never forgiven me for this, because I went on stage, and the microphone is acting up, and they're like, I wonder what caused that? And I was like, I have no idea. They're like, this was working fine earlier, and I was like, I guess it was. And then I had to pass it off to another performer, and I didn't have the heart to tell them that I dropped it in the toilet.
Oh, no!
I watched this man do a cartwheel on stage and drop it again, and then the microphone just kept cutting in and out and in and out.
No. That poor microphone. The mic pack.
I don't like mic packs very much. I find performing with them is very awkward, especially when you have to do choreography, when you're jumping around and nobody around you knows how to put it on properly and you're trying to rush to get on stage because you've done 7 different numbers in one night.
And none of the mic belts ever fit properly.
Or
just, you know, or just clips onto you.
Or like when you're going on stage and you have a like less experienced performer who doesn't turn their mic pack on before they go on stage, and you're standing in the wings, and no one can hear them, and you're just trying to sign to them, somehow,
please turn on
your microphone, we cannot hear you.
Oh my gosh, I had the worst. I was singing with a couple people from the studio. This was years ago, before I think I even met you guys. Yeah, and we were, I don't remember what we were singing, but we were jumping and dancing, and my mic pack fell right through my skirt and onto the floor. Yes, and it just fell straight. My feet were like shoulder width apart because I had just jumped into that, and it just
right
dropped
between your legs.
Yeah, and I have to pick it up, but I went to lean down and it swung up, so I couldn't pick it up.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I think I was 13 at the time. I was so embarrassed. One of the girls stopped dancing and she's like helping me pull it up through my skirt so that I can hold it. So I can hold it and I finally get it in the, and I'm a backup dancer, by the way. I'm not even like a main singer.
Oh my
and I'm
god.
The other backup dancer.
Just in the background falling over. Ruining someone's performance.
I felt so bad. It's somewhere on video.
Again, please put up the YouTube link.
No,
would you like to give
YouTube.
Us the name?
It's definitely not on YouTube, but it's in the studio archives somewhere.
Mics are so finicky. Look, when you talk to people who are on Broadway, you hear these stories about how they're so accurate that as soon as someone doesn't need to be singing, their mics are off, so they can be talking to their friends off stage.
Yeah.
That's not how it is in amateur performances.
No.
Luckily, this time it wasn't during a show, it was during a rehearsal. But this guy that I was working with, he had his mic pack on, and then we took a break, and then all of a sudden we hear his zipper over the speaker.
Oh.
And he's gone to the bathroom, and we're all like, no.
stop, turn it off.
One person runs to the bathroom, one person runs to like the soundboard to try and turn it off. We're all freaking out and we're laughing so hard. Oh god,
that poor boy.
Well, that's one of my biggest fears when I have a mic pack, or when I'm, well, like now that we're doing Zoom calls and things like that for class, like not even just to the bathroom, just like
in general
just when I hang up a Zoom call, I don't trust it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as a student, I've definitely listened to a lecture in bed. Well, and I'm so scared that I'm gonna fall asleep and I'm gonna somehow unmute myself in my sleep, and they're just gonna and they're gonna be like, excuse me, and I'm gonna be like, hello?
And like, you know, when you're muted, you make comments on what's going on. And like, you see all those videos of people who don't realize that they're unmuted. But like, genuinely, there are times you're like, oh my god, look at him, he's so cute. And then you're just like,
oh my god, wait, you have to check. Oh, thank god I'm muted.
I know, it's the worst. I have class at 6 a.m. because my school is not in the same time zone that I live in currently. And
oh, 6 a.m. Oh, music theory, 6 a.m.?
Yep.
Best theory time class. Best time for theory.
It's right when you wake up. Good... No, it's this not. You're correct. 6 a.m.
is the worst.
Yeah. So I'm real crabby. And I make comments to myself about how much I dislike theory. And every time I speak about it, I'm so scared that I'm going to be like, I hate it here. Like, I wish that this didn't exist. And that my teacher is going to be like, okay, Caitlin.
Then leave.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, I know that there are a lot of people who enjoy music theory. I'm not one of those people.
No. If you love music theory, that's great for you. You probably also understand math. I'm not that kind of person. I don't understand math or theory.
Actually, weirdly, yeah. I'm good at math. I mean, like, you guys remember...
Well, you tutored math.
I was at the head of a math club. Despite the fact that I'm good at math doesn't mean that I was good at theory. That's for sure.
Do we have anything of the three of us?
Were we... Oh...
Oh no! Our studio decided, well, our teacher for the studio we were all in together decided we should do Hamilton. Two numbers from Hamilton. It was My Shot and Alexander Hamilton.
Which was already a questionable decision.
Yeah. Considering 90% of us
were like not prepared, like we were still students figuring out how to sing. Like, there was a few of us who had been around for a while.
Yeah.
But most of us, you know, there was just a lot of new people in our
studio.
Well,
and all of the ones who had been in the studio for a while, we were all in university and working on our rep for school.
Yeah.
So nobody really had time. 90% of us did not know everything that we were doing, and they wanted proper choreography.
Oh my god. And like, we had to switch around
percussion.
The we had to switch around the harmonies a couple times, because I remember I ended up having to jump on the top harmony because
I was on
somebody
the
dropped out. And
oh god. And then I remember okay, so if most of you guys know, like, the first lines of Hamilton,
how
like,
did
a bastard orphan son of a whore
and
so
they wanted a PG.
They wanted a PG because we were going to be going and singing at like an elementary school. And so, like, what do you replace it with? And so their solution was to go, how does a foundling orphan
son of a shrew and a Scotsman?
You could stop there. Oh so, my god. What's a foundling? I still, to this day, do not know what a foundling is.
Why shrew?
I never understood the logic of any of it, really. But, like, I know that they're similar words, synonyms, whatever. But it's just just poorly chosen.
Yeah.
But so then we go through months of choreography, learning body percussion, learning how to sing these harmonies, and people making sure they know their solos.
And
then we get to the performance, and...
We ended up having to, we didn't have the space that we thought we would, so everything was really cramped, so we had to, like, scrap everything. Well, and they're like, just stand in a semicircle and look like it's really cool. Which, of course, had the exact opposite effect, especially because we had to perform in, like, the chapel of a church. And then we all collectively messed up to the point where we had to stop the entire number, and we all looked at each other and realized how lost we were.
So what happened was I saw that everyone was panicking.
Yeah.
Freaking out. No one could figure out where we were.
I think it was My Shot, right?
Yeah.
He's like halfway through My Shot.
And it was at the end.
Oh, yeah.
It was at the end, and I saw that everyone was freaking out. No one was figuring it out. And I was like, okay, just laugh. Just laugh. Just make it seem like this is the funniest thing that's ever happened, and we're totally fine with it.
This isn't hysterical at all.
No. So I just started laughing. I'm pushing other people. I'm like, ha ha ha, just laugh with me. This is fine. We're all fine.
We all did end up laughing, but and that night, I think I remember being so ridiculously long.
I remember I ended up having to jump into one or two to play minor roles because no one gave me any lines or like told me where to stand. I remember someone was doing oh my gosh, what the hell is
Seymour.
It for? Yeah, Seymour, the plant one where the plant does his big number.
Speed
me, Seymour. And I had to come on as Audrey and do the whole, sorry, doctor, I'm sorry, doctor. And then the other guy had to come on behind me and, like, yell at me. But he didn't tell me, because I originally looked at it, I'm like, okay, just say this line and I will know. Because, you know, she's supposed to get slapped across the face. I will turn and face you so my back is to the audience and you will slap me across the face. When you say this line, this is what I'm expecting to. He, of course, didn't bother learning any of it. And when you're pretending to do any kind of stage choreo, you at least need one line. You just had to remember one line. And then he goes to do it, and then, like, I stop and stare at him, being like, hit me. and then he doesn't do anything, so I turn to leave, but he's blocking my way, and then he goes, oh, realize I'm supposed to do the slap? But instead of, like, because if I'm standing right in front of him, it's supposed to be so he can put his hand in front of me, do the clap thing, no one sees his hand. It doesn't have to be professional.
Oh,
but instead,
that was not...
because I moved to walk away, all the audience saw was him give himself a high five, me look at him, and I go, oh, you hit me.
So,
I think that's enough fails for us today.
Yeah.
Sums up our experiences.
I'm sure we could probably dredge up
so many lots of funny things that have gone on, but
yeah.
That doesn't mean that there haven't been absolutely incredible moments in performing for us, but I think that we saved that.
For another time. Okay, well, thank you guys for tuning in and listening to us.
Yeah, you guys can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, SoundCloud, and Google. I think it's Google Play Music or Google Play Podcasts, one of the two. I'm not entirely sure at this moment.
We're everywhere. We're expanding. It's exciting.
Yes, I was trying to say we are now on Instagram, Facebook, and on Twitter, all under the names Classical Baddies. You can find us there everywhere. Give us a follow so you can see when we're posting new content, and we'll try to keep you guys updated.
And I think we're sticking to a schedule now. We're going to try to get them up on every Saturday, so please tune in. And, you know, feel free to give us a rating on any platform that will allow. Share with your friends if you think this is something, you know. They love music. They love a good laugh. And please say nice things about us. You know, if you like this, please rate it.
Yeah,
please.
Tell your friends about
us. Please
be
nice. We're sensitive. We're so sensitive.
give us a good rating on the Apple Podcasts if you like us. That'll help us spread everywhere so that everybody can listen to us and think that we're funny too, just like you do. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you guys next Saturday. Bye! Bye-bye.